bit of breaking.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage in association with AIR.
News: Micheál Martin has told a Fianna Fáil meeting that the triple lock bill is going to be deferred until autumn. This was plans to pass legislation to remove the triple lock requiring cabinet unanimity, government support and UN backing for the deployment of troops in any capacity. And there was plans to have that reduced to not require the UN mandate. Well, apparently it is going to be back into the autumn before that legislation is going to be passed. James Lawless is with us. He's Minister for Further and Higher Education, Research, Innovation and Science, TD, of course, for Kildare North. And he is here to talk about AI. By the way, on the triple lock, before we move to AI, James Lawless, is that for fear of it being politically unpalatable, do you think?
Look, I have a very straightforward view on the triple lock. I think it's served its purpose and it's served its time. I think that the sovereign Irish government and the democratically elected Dáil should be the only bodies that decide on Irish troop movements.
So is this a bit gutless, pushing it back to autumn?
No. Look, I mean, we've only 3 weeks left in the Dáil schedule. I mean, it was never going to be, you know, I know it's the Taoiseach said it last night, but look, in reality, looking at the legislative schedule, looking at the number of days in the week, we were never going to get this completed this side of the summer schedule. But look, there's no rush either. Let's have the discussions. Let's talk it through. A really good, respectful, robust policy engagement last night. That's what politics is for. We're members of a political party, but I myself, we're a sovereign nation. Let's act like one, and let's not outsource our troop deployments to any other power, including actually Great Britain, which I think is quite perverse for a Republican, a nation that won its war of independence, that we're now 100 years later, you know, giving that power to other countries. But anyway, that's my view, but we'll have the debate and we'll move forward.
Okay, you are today convening industry, education and government leaders for a national AI workforce readiness roundtable, and you're going to have people in from Meta and from OpenAI and from Google and from Microsoft and Vodafone and all of the rest. Are we already getting left behind when it comes to AI? Because it is only a couple of days ago that we saw Anthropic in the US be ordered by the US government to stand down one of their models because it cracked government cybersecurity in a matter of hours when they thought it should have taken weeks, and they are effectively treating it like a weapon. In Ireland and in Europe, are we a million miles behind the US?
Don't think we are. I'm around long enough. I worked in IT in a previous life, and I remember brute force attacks was where you got a computer to run so many different password combinations, eventually would stumble on the right one. That's 20 years ago. The difference with AI and quantum computing is they're doing the same things that computers always did, but millions of times faster and with less computational power required. So what I'm doing is I'm bringing together all the tech companies, all the employers in the tech space, of which Ireland has many, along with my training agencies and the educational system. We're meeting at Vodafone's new headquarters on Stephen's Green. And this is the third of these industry roundtables that I've convened. So bringing together the leading employers in a particular sector. We did construction last month. I'm doing professional services next month. I'm doing AI and technology today. And saying to the employers, like, you have large workforces, and some cases, unfortunately, there have been people let go. We've seen that in Oracle and a few others. What's happening there? Is that because of AI? What is the trend? What does it mean for your workers? What supports needed for the education and training? And also the people driving the change, what does it mean for the rest of the economy?
And do you expect frankness? If you are somebody who is running, if you're Google, if you are OpenAI, if you're any of the organizations that is pushing the current AI wave, are they actually going to come in and say, look, we're going to cause redundancies across vast swathes of people's employment?
Well, I think what they're telling us actually is quite interesting. So we commissioned some research ahead of this, and the recruitment company Indeed were very helpful. They found a number of things. So, for example, Ireland is actually a leader in terms of AI interest, AI inquiries, AI adoption. So we see in job advertisements now that Ireland is one of the leading, actually the leading EU country in terms of mentioning AI requirements or competencies and job specs. We also see that those people who already have a familiarity or awareness of AI want to use it more and be further trained on it. Conversely, but there's a new pattern emerging, not just in Ireland, in the States as well, of kind of AI disengaged or AI skeptics. People who haven't used technology, who haven't used AI, who kind of say, ah, it's not for me. I don't really want to know about that. That's someone else's thing. And maybe there's a conversation we need to have to say, well, actually, it is for everybody. It's something that we can all, no more than a smartphone might have been maybe a bit mysterious at one stage. This is just a new change, a new technology.
Yeah, but is that a bit like the Luddites fearing the loom? They were right to fear the loom. It took away their jobs.
But it gave them ultimately better jobs in higher quality industries that led to far better levels of work and life balance and far better. I mean, it took them out of jobs that were doing 16-hour days in industrial mills with no health and safety, you know, like dying the Black Plague, into jobs where they now work in an office or in a high-powered factory with all the different far better quality of life that goes with it.
And it took several generations for that process to occur.
So let's not make the same mistakes.
But if we look across employment now, we are already seeing some of our major employers who would pick up an awful lot of graduates significantly reducing their graduate intakes because, in essence, they're not saying it this way, but in essence, I can get AI to do it. Why are you?
So we're seeing some of that, but I've also met employers in the retail space and hospitality space and the service sector recently, and areas that traditionally hire a large number of young people because they come out, maybe part-time initially and then move into those areas, maybe before settling on something else more permanently. They're also reporting the same trends. So it's not just AI. I know we say that AI is disrupting. AI is a massive disruptor. It's one of the reasons we need to understand it and get ahead of it. That's what I'm doing, convening this roundtable today. But we're seeing those patterns. I think we need to dig a little bit deeper and see why is it that we're beginning to see those spikes in youth unemployment. I think part of it is actually fear of the unknown. Large companies and small companies might say, well, hang on a second, we might just pause that hiring this year until we get on top of this. You know, can we use this in a different way? Do we need a different type of worker or graduate coming in? What does it mean for us? So they're the conversations I'm having already. I said I met construction last month. That wasn't an AI-focused conversation. You'd be glad to know. You won't substitute plumbers and electricians and carpenters with AI. But certainly in the tech area, in the professional services area, next month I'm talking to solicitors, accountants, consultants. They would be, I think, very much affected by this because it's really, I suppose, coming into that space in terms of quality work, productivity gain. The other thing I'd say is that Irish workers are are using it, I think, in a very advantageous, clever way, very productive way. So Irish workers are saying, yeah, we actually find up to an hour a day is being saved using it. And we're using that to take on extra projects, extra work, improve the quality of the other work, or to retrain, to learn new skills, or shock her, actually have some quality free time. Go out and smell the fresh air, smell the coffee. And it's nice if people can achieve a little bit of work-life balance at the end of this. I think that's probably a very good thing.
One final area, in terms of the European position then, we've seen a number of areas, banking and payments processing, where we are American dependent, social media and big tech, where we are American dependent. We're now moving into an area where AI is the absolute driving force, where we are American dependent. Is this another area where Europe gradually falls behind in what will be existential?
So Europe actually has a chance, and Ireland is a big part of that, to lead on this. Just yesterday, I invested 10 million into what's called an AI gigafactory. That's a partnership with France where we're co-developing an AI supercomputer. I've also invested in quantum computing, which is a European project, and right across Europe. And one of the reasons we're doing that is to build capacity and digital sovereignty that Ireland, as part of the EU, working with other EU states, really building capacity. I had a meeting in Dublin Castle last night with a number of research ministers. That'll be kicking off with the president.
And do you think we can close the gap?
We're already ahead in some areas. In the area of quantum computing, Europe is actually very much at the top. Irish companies like Equal One, one of the foremost global companies in quantum computing, is an Irish-founded company, Irish-owned company. I met them 2 weeks ago. So we actually are in certain areas are ahead, and by continuing to invest in European and Irish competencies and capacities, we can actually get ahead, stay ahead, and actually have that comfort that we have our own computing power and our own intellectual property to drive on the next wave of innovation.
James Lawless, thank you very much. That is Minister for Further and Higher Education, Research, Innovation and Science. And of course, James Lawless, also TD for Kildare North.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage. In association with AIR. Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.